Matthew Spriggs has retired now from the ANU, where he was Professor of Archaeology for 24 years. And he lives in Vanuatu, where apart from honorary posts at the National Museum and National Library, he holds a chiefly title, Vira Ala, which means they try to stop him, but he always wins through. A couple of decades ago, Matthew made a rash promise to the people of the island of Anaitium that he would somehow rediscover their lost language of counting, erased a long time ago by Presbyterian missionaries. Well, he's done it, and Matthew joins me now from his home in Port Vila. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, David.
Take us to the island of Anaitium.
Well, Anaitium is the southernmost inhabited island of Vanuatu, and I first went there as a PhD student when I was an archaeologist in 1978, so before independence. And I've been going back ever since. I haven't been back the last few years, but so I'm getting rather old and decrepit, but I made regular visits there over the years. And people always used to ask me, you know, do you have any information on what our number system used to be, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because, you know, now we use mainly kind of, you know, especially numbers after three, we use like 4, 5, 6, 7, obviously from English. And I made this, as you said, rash pledge that I thought I could probably find out by looking at early records from when the missionaries first turned up. Missionaries turned up in 1848, Presbyterian missionaries. And their problem was that the Anaitium numbering system was kind of alien to them, because when you got to numbers like 6, 7, it was something like 5 and a bit more plus 1, or 5 and a bit more plus 2. And they just found it too, they're trying to teach arithmetic as well as teaching people to read and write. And they just thought it was all too difficult, threw up their hands and got the people to adopt the, you know, an English numbering system, which they largely use. The only numbers that remain from their old system is 1, 2, and 3. And some old people back in the day could remember the number 4. And I've started working with a linguist who is doing a study of Anaitium, a great guy called Professor John Lynch, who at one stage was the vice chancellor of the University of Papua New Guinea, also living in Vanuatu and working then for the University of South Pacific. And between us, we tried to find, you know, he tried to ask like old people, can you remember what the numbers were? And I went through a bunch of old, like early missionary translations of bits of the Bible, you know, 70 years and 10 and all this thing, looking for the original numbering system. And we had a bit of luck, but we never quite got it.
Right.
And so we came up with what we thought it must be, particularly for the numbers. We were fairly sure of the numbers 1 to 5 by the end of it, because 5 is the same as the word for hand.
Yeah, now, I wanted to pause you there, because I'm fascinated by this notion that 1 to 5 was called hand. And the numbering system you knew also then went to the feet.
Yes. So 10 would be essentially, in an Anaitium language, would be 2 hands. And then 20 would be 2 hands and 2 feet.
Now, from your work, I take it that this notion of counting on hands and feet is quite common in the Pacific.
Yes, I think it is. And often, you know, in a lot of languages in the Pacific and Southeast Asia, the word for 5 is the same as the word for hand. You know, lima is common in Indonesian, for instance. Yeah. So it is a system, and it kind of makes sense. You know, if you're not writing things down because you don't have a writing system, you know, you count on your fingers, toes, you know, that's how you get to 20 quite easily.
But beyond 20, it's starting to get complicated. I've got a measure of sympathy for the Presbyterian missionaries, but only a measure. Because, Matthew, you mentioned that some people remembered 1, 2, and 3. Or 1, 2, and 3 was widely remembered. Some people remembered 4.
Yeah.
And again, from your work, this wonderful point you make that there are many lost numbering systems in the world, but people do seem still to use 1, 2, and 3. Why?
Well, the usual explanation was these are kind of the really, you know, basic numbers that everyone can easily, you know, uses all the time. And you only need these sort of larger numbers, you know, millions and billions, if you're involved in some kind of economic system where you actually have those kind of, you know, numbers in dollars or whatever it is. But I ran a really interesting study, and I must admit, I can't claim to fully understand it. But it's, as you say, it's certainly true that the lower numerals are less prone to borrowing than the higher ones. And it's always 1, 2, and 3, and sometimes 4. And I read this article that suggests this is kind of deep in human cognition. And it's to do with what part of the brain you use when you're using lower numbers as opposed to higher numbers. Now, like I said, I'm not a neurologist or something, but it's pretty fascinating to me to find this out.
On ABC Radio National, this is Late Night Live. I'm David Marr. I'm talking to Matthew Spriggs about his discovery of the lost language of counting on the Vanuatu island of Aneityum. Now, Matthew, you talk to old people and your collaborator talk to old people, and they could give you 1, 2, 3 and sometimes 4. Doesn't this leave you in this curious and familiar position of hoping that the people who wiped out the language recorded it before they did so, that they somehow preserved what they were destroying?
That was precisely what kind of led me into this, because when people said, we don't know what the numbers are above 3 or 4, I thought, well, maybe when the missionaries first started, they hadn't decided to kind of get rid of the system, and they might have written it down somewhere. And that this missionary called John Ingalls, who was on the island from 1852 to 1870s, he actually wrote a dictionary and grammar of the Anitimese language, published it in 1882. So I had a look at that, but there's no section on numbers. So I thought, we're finished. We can't do any more than that. But there was another missionary who used to visit regularly, and he had recorded what the numbers were 1 to 10. The problem with what he recorded was it didn't make any sense. You know, he had words in there that no one on Aneityum has ever heard of these words. You know, there was one was cleth and the other was rethwon. And yeah, they're just not Anitimese words. So we had something that claimed to tell us what 1 to 10 was, but it didn't make any sense. And then it was only recently, I had a National Library of Australia fellowship, wonderful thing to have, last year. And as part of the research, I found a reference to a manuscript by this same missionary called John Ingalls. But this was not 1882, which is when his dictionary and grammar came out. It was 1859. And it was a manuscript he sent to the then governor, I guess he was, of New Zealand, George Grey.
At this point, your heart rate is increasing.
Yes, it was. Certainly was. And I found a reference to it, but I got on to it was in the Auckland Public Library of all places, which has Sir George Grey's collection. And so I got onto the catalogue, but I couldn't find it because their manuscripts, I think they're still developing a new catalogue for the manuscripts. And this was clearly, you know, a handwritten manuscript. So I wrote to the librarians, who were really helpful, and they said, yes, we do have, you know, this document, and, you know, this is the number of it, and if you come in, you can have a look. So a friend of mine in Auckland, I persuaded him to go and have a look and happy snap the relevant pages and send them.
To get this friend of yours to do your work for you.
Yeah, indeed. Well, he's a keen young linguist, you see, so that's why.
We take advantage of the young and their keenness in libraries, yes.
Well, we have to, don't we?
We do, I mean, we do.
It would be expensive to fly to New Zealand just to look at your 8-page manuscript. He sent it to me, and there were the numbers. And then immediately I realized why, although we had a version of it by this other missionary called George Turner, why we couldn't read it was clearly that when his book that he published in 1861 was being typeset, the typesetters couldn't read his writing. And what they put in the book as cleth is really a word eleth, which means like you add something on, or, you know. And this other word, Rethwan, is another kind of word, which it's Nethwan, so that they were misreading his E as a C and his N as an R.
But
and
Matthew,
then with that, the whole thing made sense.
Matthew, this takes us to another familiar problem. How well can a European ear hear the language that is being spoken to them? How carefully, how accurately can they transcribe it? And then, there's the whole problem of misprints. But first, there is the problem of listening.
Well, these missionaries, I mean, they were living for years on these islands. They weren't like, you know, anthropologists or, say, linguists today who might visit a place for a few weeks or a few months. You know, they lived on the island for like the two Presbyterian missionaries who were there. They spent like 20 years on the island. So they had pretty much got the language down by the end of it. So, you know, I mean, it's an incredible achievement that they did. And it's still possible to read the things that they published and wrote when there aren't misprints. You know, people can read it today.
Yes. I mean, it's a common problem in Australia where some people moving into a new district had the ear to write down perfectly an Indigenous language. Others just made a hopeless botch of it. And we live with those botched, attempts even today. So, you identified the misprints and you now have the numbering system. How far? From 1 to?
1 to 10 and 20. And I think that from just some remarks the missionary at one stage made in English, not in language, that we could probably work out, have a pretty good idea of what 11 to 19 is as well. But what we've got is basically 1 to 10 and then we've got 20.
Okay, Matthew, will you please count from 1 to 10 in the language of this island?
Okay, it has changed. The language has changed a bit. So some of the pronunciations are not what they were, you know, 150 years ago or whatever. Okay, it's Ithi Eru Esej Emanuan Nijman Nijmanum Eleth et Ethi Nijmanum Eleth et Eru. That's seven we're up to now. Nijmanum Eleth et Esej, which is eight. Digmanum Eleth et Emanuan. And finally, 10. Nijman Lep Ijman, which means a hand and a hand. And then 20 is, let's see, I've got it here as Nikmak Ero Imlep Nethwak Ero, meaning my two hands and my two feet. The pronunciation of the words may have changed a bit in the last, since the missionaries wrote it down. But that's basically the whole system that people asked me and the late John Lynch to try and find out. They were asking me in the 1970s, and then late in 2025, I managed to find the document and was able to tell people what their system used to be.
So tell us about telling them.
Yes, they have schools on the island where they kind of teach custom, you know, traditional ways, traditional foods and things like this, and traditional ways of agriculture. And one thing they can now do is teach the kids to count in their own language.
Well done.
There's quite a few Anaitimis people in Port Vila, and one of them is a good friend of mine, Chief Yotai. He's the chief of the Anaitimis community in Port Vila. And I told him about this, and he kind of sat there, you know, not scratching his head exactly, but he was thinking about it for a minute. And then he just said with a smile, one of the few Anaitimis words I actually remember from my time down there, which is upni, meaning good. And then he said in Bislama, the lingua franca of Vanuatu, you finish now, you miss savvy now, something yeah, you come back, meaning that's it, we know now, we've got it back. And that was a wonderful moment.
Matthew, thanks so much for joining us on Late Night Live.
Thank you very much for having me.
I have been talking to Emeritus Professor Matthew Spriggs about the rediscovery of the words for numbers obliterated by Presbyterian missionaries all those years ago. We will remember you, Matthew, by your chiefly title, Vira Allah. They try to stop him, but he always wins through.